of Shvat, 22nd of February, Rabbi Nosson Liss, the oldest building regulations in the world.
I think we find ourselves at a time of the year when we start to think about building. At the end of Parshas Yisroi, we have the first instruction, the first tzivui to build the Mizbeach. In this week in Parshas Shkolim, we have the chiyuv to raise money. And then from Parshas Truma onwards, we have the chiyuv to build the Mishkan. So over the next 5-6 weeks, our mindset is going to be one of building. And over the last 2 years, I've been privileged as the Rav in Highgate to be very much involved in the building project that we undertook in our shul. We knocked down the previous shul and had to rebuild in its place a newer and a better shul with better facilities. And it raised a number of shilas throughout the building process. We're actually, interestingly enough, in the knocking down process as well. And I'd like to make a start and have a look at some of those this morning. Parenthetically, something I learned throughout the process, having gone to all the turned up to all the professional meetings in town and met the party wall surveyors, the architects, the builders, the contractors, the M&E people, it was a really important opportunity that I think all Kehillah Rabbonim should take to actually see their balabatim at work, to see the pressures that balabatim go through on a daily basis, and also to see what the professional world looks like. And I certainly took a lot of lessons from that and have now learned a second trade, so to add to that. And I appreciate that some of you may have been involved in building projects, whether it's a personal project at home, whether it's in at work, or whether it's in a communal project, whether it's in shul. So I think it raises a number of interesting shilas. I just want to throw out to you, actually, to start with, can everyone think of the type of shilas that would come up during the building project of a shul?
Fruit trees. How soon can you close the shul down before you've got a replacement shul in place, for example?
Okay, so can you close down a shul before you rebuild the new shul? That's the one shilas that comes up. Sorry?
One for the sun and then one we had interfering recently.
Okay.
Are you about to see the sun?
Does the Aruch HaKodesh have to face Mitzvah? So wait, what are you going to do with the actual structure of the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses? How are you going to face, and what's the actual the layout of the shul itself? Okay, what should you do in the closing down process? What can you sell? It's in the same spot as the previous one. So any other, besides for the knocking down process, then in the rebuilding, any shilas that you think might come up?
Fruit trees.
Privacy, mechitza, rights of light. Other questions that we looked at, certainly in the modern world, to make a halakhically compliant structure, you've got, with all the lightings and the motion sensors, to have to sit down with the M&E people right at the beginning to explain the requirements of Shabbos. We have a basement, we have toilets in the basement, so can you have a pump working? How does it work with pumping the waste from below the sewage level to the sewage level? How does that work with Shabbos? Can you put in a sump pump or a macerator that will work on Shabbos? Other things involve putting in a lift that's Shabbos compliant to make sure the building is accessible. I spoke to the questions, what do you do with the old shul furniture? What do you do with the old Aron Kodesh? What do you do with the old Bimah, etc. And a number of other shilas involved. Now, the reason I called this the oldest building regulations in the world is because the Torah HaKadosh already tells us some of these. We have the chiyuv to build a parapet, to build a ma'akeh. If you have a roof, you have to have a ma'akeh. Interesting enough, the Gemara in Vava Kama Daf Tes Vav on the base says as follows: Tzani Rabbi Nosson Omer, Minayin Shlo Yigadol Adam Kelev Ra Besoich Beisoi. I know you can't rear a Kelev Ra. How would you describe that? Besoich Beisoi. Val Yamed Sulam Ruua Besoich Beisoi. You also can't have an unsafe ladder at home. Talmud Loma Lo Sosin Domu Beveisef. And the pasuk that speaks about the chiyuv to build a ma'akeh, we already have the first example of health and safety rules. That we have through this pasuk. So we'll be careful to make sure our homes, our shuls, are ones that we take health and safety seriously. We also have a concept of Chanukas Habayis. We know when building the army. Also in Sefer Devarim, when we're building the army, we also say to those people who have recently built a home but haven't been able to have the Chanukas Habayis yet, that they should be mechanech their house first. So we have a concept of Chanukas Habayis, a concept of Hakaras Hatov, the Rabbeinu Shlom. But let's start, if I may, we'll start with the one Shaila, we'll see where we get to before 9 o'clock. But the first is, can you have the building built on Shabbos? What's the story with allowing a building built on Shabbos? Can you do it? And if not, why not? Obviously, we're not talking about Yidden building, but if you have a contractor who's working, is he allowed to do it? Are they allowed to do that for you on Shabbos or not? Now, this is a classic case that we all know about in London, because in 1988, Olympia and York started to build Canary Wharf. It was finished in 1991, as it would be, that's just as when this country entered the great slump. In 92, the company went bankrupt. And it was only after the Jubilee line extension happened in 99 that really the project took off. I think the story is fascinating. There are two things that we can be sure of. Number one is that the project transformed London. But number two is that pursuant to Halacha, all of Olympia and York's construction projects halted on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And a former chairman of our shul told me that he was working in one of the companies in Canary Wharf, and he looked at the contract that the company had.
I've seen the contract myself. There's a definition of during Sabbath, sunset Friday to Saturday.
So, yes, and he writes that their lease at Canary Wharf had clauses prohibiting any building work on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and had a list of dates of Yom Tov until the end of the lease. And he says he thinks that was typical of all the Canary Wharf buildings at the time. So it was constantly, even after it had been built, since the building was Jewish owned, they didn't want to allow any building works or any of that to take place on Shabbos. Right. So is that halachically necessary? What's the background to this? And I think we need to first approach this issue by looking at the concept of Amira La'akum, about the concept of a Shabbos goy, and the prohibition, the issa, to instruct a non-Jew to perform malacha for a yid on Shabbos. I remember when we were privileged to live in Yerushalayim for many years, we had an elderly couple who lived upstairs, and there was a Filipino lady who looked after them. And at our Shabbos table, she used to tell us the things that other members of the building had been asking her to do. And I was placed in a difficult position that this was in a frum neighborhood, this was people who were shomer Torah mitzvahs, who were not aware of the intricacies of the halacha of Amir al-Akum. And we had to deal with them, my wife and I had to deal with them in a very subtle and careful way. So let's look at the background. Why is Amir al-Akum forbidden? So there are three reasons given in the Rishonim. The first is given by the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Parak Vov, Halacha Aleph says as follows. Also loyma l'goy l'asa is l'onim l'locha b'Shabbos. Afo pisha einam et suva ala Shabbos, even though goy doesn't have any Hilchos Shabbos. And even if the instruction was given before Shabbos, and even if he doesn't need the work to actually be done on Shabbos, we have to be careful that we don't take Shabbos lightly. And if we do take Shabbos lightly, says the Rambam, we'll get to a point where Chasshom v'yovo la'asos, but ultimately Yid themselves would do this melacha. So that's the first reason given by the Rambam. The second reason is given by Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, Where he says as follows, Amash osli Yisrael lemel oivik hacham osli kach, zeu meshum ematzor cheftecha v'dabra dovo, which is based on the pasuk in Yishayahu Perek Nun Ches, where we say, v'chibadato me'asos drochecho, and we honor Shabbos by not engaging in our own matters, me'ematzor cheftecha, from seeking our own needs, v'dabra dovo, or discussing that which is forbidden. So according to Rashi, the Isser is actually on the Amiro. There's a prohibition on asking for things that are forbidden. And then finally, the concept of delegating or appointing an agent, a shliach. And this Rashi and the Ran and other Rishonim, right, as far as the Rashi is found in Shabbos Daf Kufnun Gimel Amad Aleph, where he says, V'hari shluchoi liso'enu b'shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav points out, V'afo pish ein oirim shluchu shalom k'moysa min ha-Torah. Even though Eleb Yisrael, even though we only apply the concept of Shlucha Shalav and Kamosei with the Min HaTorah can only be with the Yid, says Mikol Mokem Adivrei Sofim Yesh Shlichus L'Nochri L'Chum. We have a chumrah that if you ask a shliach goy to do something for you, they become your shliach. Even though that's not Midrash, it's Midrabbanan. So, using those three reasons, we see that not only. According to the Rashi, you can't ask on Shabbos because there's an Isser and actually of Vedabra Dovo. But with all of them, to actually ask for the Menachem and the other two reasons, for the Rambam and the third reason, and the Rash and the Ran, can't actually ask for Melachah to be done on Shabbos. So that's the concept of Amir La'akum, and it goes in many different, covers many different areas. But there are instances, we know, that where one may hire a non-Jew to do a job that involves Melachah, but it's one that doesn't need to be done on Shabbos itself. And I think there are two categories that we need to define. The first is that of a kablan, an independent contractor. And the second, that of a schir yoyim, which we'll define a little bit more later, but that of a day, someone who works per day. We look at kablan. The responsibilities to the employer are job-related and not time-related. So, for example, if you need your car to be repaired, you take the car in to the mechanic and say, please get this done. It's not time related, it's job related. Similarly, taking things to a dry cleaner, and similarly, if you have a job for a lawyer to do for you, it's not, although the lawyer may very well charge you per hour or per minute, it's job related, it's not necessarily time related.
It's also time related if you give your children or give your car in Friday afternoon, and you know that they're going to do it on Shabbos.
Okay. So that's an important question. So, we've said that a kablan, and it's, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch a moment, that it's, you can have a kablan can do work for you on Shabbos, provided that you give them the opportunity to do it during the week. If they then choose to do it on Shabbos, the thing. But if you take your car in 5 minutes before Shabbos, and you ask, and you say you're going to pick it up on Motzei Shabbos, that's Keneged Halacha. That you can't do. But we'll come to that. So the first thing is there's a concept of a kablan, someone who is an independent contractor, you give them a job to do, they can choose when to do it. On the other hand, if you have a schir yom, there you hire someone for a set amount of time. It is time, not job related. And therefore, if you're asking them to do things that are against halacha, and ask them to do on Shabbos, whether it's a secretary or a cleaner, those can't be, those are keneged halacha. We'll come back to, might come back to the concept of a cleaner as well, because that's quite important. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Resh Mem Dalet Sif Aleph as follows, Posek im ho'eni Yehuda amalacha. You can agree, come to terms with a guy to have some work done for you. The kotzes domim, you agree the price on it. V'ha'ina yehudi oisel atzme. And the guy can then choose when to do it to himself. V'afal pisho oisel v'shabbos mutter. Even if he does it on Shabbos, that's fine. And the Mishnah Brura in Sif Kotzen Beis explains as follows. Tekiven shekotzes adati denafshe. Tekiven shekotzes, since with country there is a set price for the job, Adat it enough shik ha'ovad, he chooses when to do it. Lemahe lahashem elachdo to Yisrael, se enke peda boza. Zim lo yaseh ha'yom yaseh lemoch. If he doesn't do it today, he'll do it tomorrow. But if you actually set it, that you, as you gave the example, if you give it to him on a Friday afternoon and ask him to do it in time for Sunday morning, and you know that he's going to do it on Shabbos, that's keneged halacha. But if you give him the car with plenty of time during the week, and there's plenty of time for them to do it, and they choose to do it on Shabbos, that's their own choice. Interestingly enough, the Chai Odom points out that's only if they're doing it at their place. If they're doing it in the Yid's home, it looks as though they were asked to do the malacha on Shabbos, and that's a problem of Maris Ayin, and that's also forbidden. So, we have this concept of a Kablam, and we say that if, provided you don't force them to Shabbos, it also raises another interesting question about sending post on a Friday. Sending post on a Friday, I'm not going to go into that now, but the difference between putting a letter in the postbox on a Friday afternoon and also doing something through FedEx, going through FedEx on a Friday where you're instructing them to actually deliver on Shabbos and sending post when you can't, that's for another time to look at that. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Simon Reish Mem Daled explains the difference between a Sechir Yoim and a Kablam, which I think is an important definition to move forward with. He says as follows. Talking about a Kablam, Ve'ena Doma L'Sechir Yoim. This is not comparable to a Sechir Yoim. Sha Sechir Yoim Ein HaMalocha Shaloi Klal. The Malocha, the work, doesn't belong to him at all. Ve'ena Lo Esek Bo. It's not something he's creating. It's not something that he's fixing. His intention, the person's intention, is not to complete the work. He doesn't get any ta'elis out of completing it. What is his kavanah? His benefit from this is to work for the Yid for that day, for those hours, to get the reward for that. But on the other hand, the contractor, he needs to complete that job. I want to fix that car, I want to clean those clothes, whatever it might be. And there he's not considered kashlucha shel Yisrael. Mentioned before that it raises an interesting question about having people help on Shabbos in one's home. What's the story with having a home help or a cleaner? And these are complex halachas, not for the few minutes we have now, but there may be a difference between if they're live-in help or part-time. But certainly, if they're a Sechir Yoim, if you're asking someone to come in your house on Shabbos, you can only ask them to do what is permitted for a Yid to do. There's discussion about if they then choose to do it in a way that's prohibited for you, whether it's cleaning the floor, whether it's washing the dishes in a certain way, to be discussed, but I just want to raise those issues, not simple issues. But coming back to our question, having seen the difference between a Sechir Yoim and a Kablan, and having said it's mutter to ask a Kablan to do a job for you, provided that you don't stipulate it has to be done on Shabbos, and provided that you don't, the time frame you give them makes it impossible for them to not work on Shabbos. We said it's mutter to employ a Kabbalah. So what's the story if a Yid wants to hire a non-Jewish contractor to build a house? May the Yid allow the contractor to do the work on Shabbos, or do you have to instruct them to not work on Shabbos? And let's remind ourselves, so far we've said, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that provided that it's a kablan, you've come to an agreement on the price, and you don't force them to do it on Shabbos, it's mutter. So lichora, if it's a kablan, it should be mutter.
I've taught in the Jewish area, you're not allowed to.
Hold on. The Shulchan Aruch continues as follows. Shulchan Aruch continues as follows. But Medav Amorim, where is this said? But Sino. This is done privately. This is where it's not evident that the work is being done for a Yid. If it's clear that this is going to a Jewish project, it's known that this building belongs to Yidin, it's a shul. A person seeing it will not know that there's an agreement that that's done by a contractor, may think it's a schir yom, and may get the wrong impression. We'll think that that Yid who owns the project, owns the building, has asked the Goy to do it on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on, says, as you mentioned, the Fika Chaposek, and you live Noslo, Chatzero, Koslo, etc. Im Hoysa Malacha, but Medina Obersocha Tchum, if it's in a Jewish area, Osolo Lahanicha Lasso Malacha Beshabbos, Mipne Haroim Sheinim Yodim Sheposa. Because the people walking past, you have other Yidden walking past, they'll see that it's taken place. They won't know that it was done through a contractor, get the wrong idea. So if it's in a Jewish area, according to Shulchan Aruch, one may allow the contractor to build on Shabbos if it's outside of the Jewish area. If it's a place where no Yidden go past, it should be mutter to do it. So what's the concern? Why is it also to allow a contractor to do work for Yid, to do the building of Shabbos? And so we're told that it's a zilusa de Shabbos. People think that Yidden are not keeping Shabbos, and onlookers may be unaware that the guy is employed as a contractor on a fixed amount and might assume that he's a schirio. They then might wrongly suspect the Yid of violating Shabbos by hiring a schirio. The question, however, arises, what about nowadays? Everybody knows that nowadays all buildings are built through contractors. They're built through Kablanim. We don't employ the workers to work as schirio. So anyone walking past will not suspect that it's a person's employed as a schirio. Moreover, contractors generally place visible signs at construction sites to inform onlookers of their name and say this is a building with the concern of the community in mind, and they'll put their name and their contact information. And they'll realise immediately that it's not a Yid building. We've got a contractor. There's no chashash, there's no marasayim, there's no concern that it's being done by Yid. So seemingly then, under modern circumstances, we shouldn't have this concern, and it should be allowed. So the Mishnah Berurah already notes this in Simon Reish Mem Dalad, Sifkot and Zion, where he says as follows, Vafilu iminaga'i lischo b'kibolus. Even if you live in a town where that's the minhag, where everyone is employed, or everyone does building works through contractors only. It says, Das hataz lahachmir. The Taz doesn't like this. Because you'll have visitors to that city, you'll have visitors who come past, who don't know that the minhag in that place is to only have a contractor. They'll see, this is a Jewish building going up, and they'll have that concern. He then refers us to the Bir HaLocha, and the Bir HaLocha goes to great lengths to try and work out to find various heterim, and he ends up with a tzorach in. Interesting enough, there are a few other reasons. This question is addressed that if we are in a place where it's only contractors, what's the story? And Shulchan Aruch Harav writes, "Mitam ze yesh lahatir laneich lenochem livnos beis haknesses b'shabbos." Should allow a goy to build a beis haknesses on Shabbos. Im hu mokim shemafurusim b'derach binin habatz malide umus kablonim. But he says he doesn't allow it because even if you have a main contractor, the main contractor will employ schirayim, and so might the Yid who's doing things. Not everything is done through the main contractor. And so things that are not done through the main contractor may be employed as schirayim, as day workers, and that work is forbidden on Shabbos, and that might give the wrong impression as well. Interesting enough, the Aruch HaShulchan takes a different stance on this. He also says, you're looking at the Beis HaKnesses in town. Imagine this. The Beis HaKnesses, Al Pi HaLocha, it might be mutter for the Yidden to have their Beis HaKnesses, their shul built, or another building built on Shabbos. But he says as follows. De'ein l'cho chil shem shomayim yosem izeh, neged ha'umos, shenaneach las binyonim b'Shabbos kodesh. If we allow our buildings to go up on Shabbos, what does that tell the world about how important we treat Shabbos? And there are knock-on effects of that. And he quotes the Mogen Avraham, who says as follows. And McCormack and Roy Easton, who also raises the question about nowadays that everything's done through contractors, what's the story? It says, McCormack, this is the Mokin Avrom in Sifkot and Ches, he says, McCormack and Roy Easton, Shagadayim, lo rots la hatziroi. They didn't want to allow this. Ki bezman hazeh ein ha'okam manichem l'shum adam lasos melocha b'fahesi b'yom ha'chogom. On their Yom Tovim. On their festivals, they would never allow a building to go up. They do not allow work to take place on their public holidays, their religious festivals. So what does that tell the world about how seriously we treat Shabbos if we allow shul to be built on Shabbos? It's a terrible chilul Hashem. And as the Mogen Avraham says, v'im naniach anachm la'asos ikor chilul Hashem. So chilul Hashem is the delusion of the Shabbos. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet, Siman Nun Beis, also says that technically speaking, one could argue that since nowadays virtually all buildings are done through contractors, there wouldn't be a concern if someone walked past to think that a Yid had done that through Sechiria. But he adds that let's see how Shabbos viewed nowadays. We see, tragically, not everyone is Shomer Shabbos. And if someone walks past the local shul and sees what's going on, and even if someone who's Shomer Shabbos goes past and sees the shul at work going on shul, how does that affect our Shomer Shabbos? How will that affect the way we see the world, the way we see Shabbos? And so he says, although technically one could possibly find a heter to allow this, he says most people will not recognize the halachic distinction and between the concept of a contractor and the concept of a schirium, and therefore will make the mistake saying it's permitted, Amir al-Akam is permitted across the board, and they'll make the mistake of employing going to do work for them on Shabbos. Ishrafi adds that if you have Yidden living adjacent to the construction site, the noise of the machinery and trucks will likely interfere with their Oynek Shabbos, which is also something we have to take on board. So he, Rav Moshe, rules that unless there's a pressing need, a Tzurach Godol, unless there's a Hefson Merubo, one should not allow the building work to take place on Shabbos. The one thing I would say that's really important if anyone is getting involved in building works is make sure you make this clear to the contractor before signing. You make it clear from day one, then you won't have any problems. If you once the contract is signed, if you then turn around to the contractor and say, oh, by the way, you know you've signed off to do this contract and you've set a year and a half to do the project, whatever it might be. During the winter, we need you to stop early on a Friday afternoon, and none of this working on a Saturday morning or on Jewish festivals. And we know that in planning permission in this country, you're allowed to work on Saturday mornings till 1 o'clock. Building works are forbidden on Sundays. So they immediately lose a lot of their time, and they could turn round to you and say, well, we never agreed to that. So with all of these things, it's critically important from day one to make that important. I've got to finish in a minute, but I'll point out that if you're involved in any building project, it's really key to, with all the M&E stuff as well, to try and talk about how the pumps, the M&E, sorry, the mechanics and the electrical stuff, all of the plumbing and all of the electrical works, whether you're going to have motion sensors, and when it comes to the items they're going to put in the kitchen, to make sure they're all Shabbos compliant. It's a complicated process nowadays. But if you sit down, I mean, our experience was fantastic. If you sit down on day one and explain everything clearly, ask shilas if you're not sure, then the contractors are generally more than happy and actually very respectful. Our contractors, who were very respectful of the whole project and felt it was a privilege to build a shul. There are a number of other shilas that come up with this, but we'll have to save that for another time. Have a good day. Okay.